Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This week's episode of Skincare with Friends is about vitamin C. Vitamin C is a troublesome ingredient for a few reasons, and I really wanted to dig down into the science and the research and find some answers to some questions that I had about it. Questions like, does it even absorb into our skin? Which product's the best to buy? Can we increase the amount of vitamin C by taking it in our diet? And are the derivatives any good? So we've got some really interesting answers to all those questions. Come and find us on Skincare with Friends at Facebook and on Instagram. Enjoy!
This is Skincare with Friends.
Hello and welcome to Skincare with Friends with your hosts, Nia Patton.
And Natalie.
Yay! We finally made it.
I know we did. Oh, sorry. My bastard job. Tell you what. We were supposed to record this last week, but
yeah.
I have a job that pays and I shouldn't have to do work on the weekend, but I did.
That's really annoying.
Yeah, and I was mortally hungover because I had one of my best friends visit from Washington DC. That's we ended so nice. Up in a nightclub in Barrie.
Oh my God.
It was amazing. It had neon lights. It had neon lights and sticky floors and G-funk era 90s hip hop. It was everything that a 41-year-old could want, to be honest.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it was really good. I went to bed at 3.
Ugh.
I know.
Did you feel awful the next day?
I felt absolutely shocking, but it wasn't just that. It was that weird annoyingness of knowing full well that you're still drunk because you've only had 3.5 hours sleep.
Yeah.
And knowing that you are being really annoying to your partner and there's nothing you can do about it. And you just need to go back to bed for 6 more hours and everyone knows that's not going to happen. So
no.
Oh, you
just the time just has to elapse and there's nothing more to be done about it.
Just got to sit there in limbo and
wait.
It just feels like there's sandpaper on your eyes. It's a horrible feeling. Why do we do it?
I don't know.
I
try not to do it.
What did you do last weekend?
I don't know.
Oh, I know. It's a while ago.
Last weekend? No, it's not there. The information is not available to me.
Sorry. It was no doubt fun and crazy. So this week, last week we were supposed to talk about it, but we're going to talk about this week.
Yeah.
We're talking about vitamin C. This is a really good one.
Yeah.
What does it do and why we need it in our routine? Do we need it in our routine even?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've already done a podcast about vitamin C before. I can't remember anything much about it, what we said.
Yeah, but you know what? Things change. You get people, not you, one gets flaky and one tends to change their mind about things. Like I've got a real make or break statement to make. And that is that I cannot stand any of the Ordinary's vitamin C's anymore on my face, anywhere near it. Just don't like
it. Pure ones or all of them.
Derivatives, pure, anything. Just
hot,
sticky. It's been a warm summer. I don't want to feel sticky and sweaty. I don't like the way they're formulated. I don't like the way they sit on my skin.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to be doing anything.
That's fair enough.
Sorry. Are we still friends?
I don't care. I didn't invent it. I'm not that weird that I would get upset if somebody doesn't like it. You know, lots of the formulations aren't very nice. Like,
they
are
not.
Sticky and they pill a lot. But I do use ascorbyl tetraisopalmitate every day because I love the texture. And I think it actually absorbs into my skin despite feeling oily.
Yeah. This is what I'm not finding with lots. They're sitting on there. They're not absorbing. even though my skin is normally not dry at all, but it's really dry down to all of the, you know, tretinoin and hydroquinone that's going on there at the moment. So yeah. I welcome anything oily. It's not that. It's just that it feels like it sits there and slides down my face.
Yeah, that's gross.
And it feels hot. It feels warm. And it's not particularly nice.
No, maybe that's a summer opinion.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think it is. I think when it comes to the cold winter nights.
You want to feel sticky.
Yeah, warm and sticky. So yeah, we're going to talk about, you've done lots of research. Yeah. Looking at your transcript.
Because I had an extra week, I just started reading studies. Oh God, did I?
Nerd.
Yeah.
Did I? So, yeah, do we need it in our routine?
Well, the reason I wanted to ask this question was because of a doctor who we've mentioned before called Natalia Spearings. She is, I guess, like, she's quite a character on the internet, and she, you know, lots of people rely on her for skincare prescriptions. They go and see her and get like really strong hydroquinone prescriptions, and she's really
She's based out of Dubai, isn't she now?
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's in Britain a bit, but she's really helping people with their melasma and prescribing them tranexamic acid and hydroquinone. She's, you know, interesting to look at on Instagram because she has some strange, like, bold opinions sometimes. And she said, I was watching one of her videos on Instagram, and she said that she doesn't think that anyone should be using vitamin C. So I'll quote what she says. She says that nobody needs to use topical vitamin C. It has no positive effect on any given skin problems. She thinks that its only role is as an antioxidant in sunscreen with vitamin E. She thinks it causes more problems than it cures in terms of irritation. And it has a photoprotective effect, but it doesn't target lines or pigmentation.
Okay. So, you know, it's always been said that it's the best friend of an SPF. So in that respect, it has its place in your skincare routine. But she's saying sort of in and of itself, it's, you know, on its own, it's pretty pointless. And actually, I mean, she does say some far out stuff, but loads of people have said that their skin can't tolerate vitamin C.
Yeah,
either that, or they feel that, it's either irritated by it, or they just haven't seen any improvements, or they haven't just felt a difference in their skin after having used it for quite some time. So I just did a really in-depth poll on my Instagram an hour and a half ago.
Really in-depth.
really in-depth. I had 12 answers. but actually, three people have said, gave up because it just doesn't do anything for me. I just haven't noticed any difference. And a couple of people said it's so irritating, they just stopped. So it's quite interesting that.
Yeah, same. That's what I found. It just made my acne worse. So I went and stopped it. And I don't miss it. But, you know, it's a really, really popular ingredient.
But you are using a derivative though. Right.
I am using, but that doesn't cause me any problems. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. See, I did a poll on Instagram as well, and 70% of people who answered it said that they are using a vitamin C in their skincare routine.
Oh, okay. Well, I had 54% who
aren't. I don't think this is scientific.
It's totally scientific. What are you talking about? which I was quite surprised by. I was expecting more people to use it, only because it's become such a, there's a vitamin C serum by every single skincare brand, obviously. And it's really cheap too, pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really, really popular, and it's everywhere, you know, so you assume that it must have some positive effects then. So I checked, so vitamin C has grown 37% as a skincare ingredient in the last year. So last year. Yeah. So it's one of those things. Niacinamide actually grew, the sale of niacinamide serums grew by 193%.
Holy heck.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, also it's the probably, yes, the popularity of niacinamide has risen, but haven't you noticed that niacinamide is now in everything, whereas it kind of didn't used to be before?
Yeah.
So it's like products containing niacinamide. Yeah, that's pretty much everything. It's in all your of sunscreen.
The products have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which because is it's easy to formulate.
Yeah, it's easy to formulate, and but a lot of people don't seem to tolerate that too well either. And it's not just the strength; a lot of people have said that it, you know, that
really?
That tends to irritate too. But there we go. So, what's the point in vitamin C anyway? So, why do the skincare community think that vitamin C is a good thing? What is it supposed to do?
Well, vitamin C is an antioxidant. It's supposed to help with collagen synthesis. So collagen is the protein in your skin that makes it firm. So vitamin C is a cofactor of collagen. So if you don't have vitamin C, you can't make collagen and your teeth start falling out and your hair starts falling out and you have scurvy.
Great.
Yeah. It also is an antioxidant. It protects from sun damage. It's an anti-inflammatory. It's supposed to lighten hyperpigmentation. It helps with inflammation. I've said that already. Improves with acne and acne scarring, allegedly, some studies have shown. And it helps with dry skin as well, I read somewhere.
Okay.
So there's lots of things that it potentially does. But
yeah, okay.
It's not an easy ingredient to use and have in a formula.
Right, because it's very unstable, right?
Yeah.
So what do we mean by that? What why is it so unstable? What happens
in it degrades. When you open it?
Okay.
So yeah, it converts itself to dehydroxyascorbic acid, which is sort of yellow. I'm not going to go into the chemical formula of it all.
Okay.
But yeah, it's safe to say that in air and water, vitamin C goes off and it goes nasty.
Okay.
So, you know, you'll find that, you know, if you've bought your drunk elephant serum for, I don't know how much it is, a lot of money.
£79 probably.
Yeah.
It goes
off in a couple of months. So, a lot of research has gone into marketing and developing derivatives of vitamin C so that it can be formulated and that they won't go off as easily.
Some popular sort of derivatives of vitamin C that are sort of popular.
So there's magnesium ascorbate phosphate. Magnesium ascorbate phosphate is one of the Ordinary's most popular products, and they've just stopped making
it. Was it though? I don't know if it was one of their most popular products. It was beautiful.
Probably not, but it was great.
Whatever it was, the suspension was, it wasn't overly, it wasn't at all silicone-y, in fact. It was a lovely cream.
It was a moisturizing cream, yeah.
Yeah, it was just beautiful. So it wasn't like annoying and warm and irritating and oily. And it wasn't overly silicone-y like a lot of the other sort of vitamin C and derivative formulations of vitamin C by The Ordinary. It was perfect. And I can't talk about it without wanting to weep because they frigging discontinued it.
Yeah, and we don't know. If they're not coming clean about that. They're not saying if they did discontinue it or not, but they're just not making it anymore.
Oh my God, when they do... Well, I'm going to have a party. I will have a party.
A map party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can come, just us two.
Yeah, I don't think anyone else will understand.
Mm-mm. No. That was a popular one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's also tetraisopalmitate, which I have been using in the Ordinary serum that you don't like either at all.
It's been a year since I've used it, so I can't tell you, but my face is definitely more prone to.
Okay, so you're not you haven't tried it for a while.
I'm using ascorbic acid and I don't know, What do they do that with?
Ascorbic acid. So which one? From the ordinary? No.
Yeah. From the ordinary. I can't remember what it's with. Anyway, I just...
Oh, yeah. Alpha-arbutin. Alpha-arbutin. Yeah. That's the only one that's mixed in with anything.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's pure oiliness and heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is heat and oil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's also tetrahexyl decyl ascorbate.
Right.
Which is so hot right now.
Is it really?
Yeah. Who is doing that? I don't know. Right. Okay. I tried to find a product with it because it's got some good research that it might actually be quite a good alternative to ascorbic acid, which is what we're after. Okay. Yeah. But not that many products contain it. And I think they're quite expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's the L-ethyl ascorbic acid, which the ordinary does, and it's also in NIOD and hyalamide, and that's supposed to be quite good as well.
Yeah, so I've ordered it from NIOD. Well, it's in my shopping cart ready to be checked out.
Yeah, so you're going to get that soon.
I will.
Yeah, and it does have this weird texture. It's kind of like a dry oil feeling.
Okay.
It's quite warming, and... I don't like it. It smells of pear drops. Yeah.
What is not to love about that? No. Grandma's smell of pear drops. Pear drops are lovely. No, you don't like pear drops. Just not all over your face.
No. It wasn't for me. It didn't do me any favours anyway.
Well, look, I haven't bought it yet. So if you really think it's not worth it, I won't buy it.
No, try it. You might enjoy it.
Well, not if it's warming. Okay. So yes. So what do we need to know really about why vitamin C is going to be worth it? Because if you don't like it, there's relatively, like you said, there's lots of derivatives we can try. It's pretty cheap. I know it's not stable, but obviously in the formulations we've just listed, you know, it is. So it's kind of cheap to try. And if it doesn't work out for you, then fine. What are the questions we need to be asking?
So I took Natalie Spearing's statement and I just sort of thought of several questions that I want answered about vitamin C in reference to this question. So can vitamin C get into our skin at all? Does it absorb? We've got, you know, the top layer of our skin is dead skin cells, basically, in a layer. Mm-hmm. So does it get through that into the living skin cells to have any kind of effect? So I read all these studies and I've been basically falling asleep on the sofa every evening, blinking and looking at the studies and going, oh, no, this is not good. Oh dear.
So what were the findings then?
The findings. So there's a study performed by a chap called or a lady called Pennell. I don't know. Pennell and his or her colleagues suggest that topical ascorbic acid can be formulated in a manner that ensures stabilization and enhances permeation. So these studies demonstrated that L-ascorbic acid, so that's the same as vitamin C. That's its scientific name is L-ascorbic acid. It's exactly the same thing. Can be delivered across the stratum corneum, which is the dead layer of skins, as long as the ionic charge on the molecule is removed. This is achieved only at a pH of less than 3.5. The maximum concentration of L-ascorbic acid for percutaneous absorption was 20%. And curiously, higher levels fail to increase absorption. Daily application of 15% vitamin C at pH of 3.2 increased skin ascorbic acid levels to 20-fold, and the tissue levels were saturated for 3 days. The half-life of ascorbic acid after tissue saturation was approximately 4 days. This study was performed on pig skins. So this isn't human skin.
But it's very similar though, isn't it, pig skin?
Yeah, I sort of assume that there are similarities. Then okay. Maybe, you know, we can assume there's an element of truth to this these findings.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what does that mean in plain English? That
basically the vitamin C's got to be in something really acidic. Otherwise okay. It doesn't get into your skin at all. Mm-hmm. And it's just sitting on top.
Right. So it has to be less than a pH of less than 3.5.
Yeah.
Or actually 3.2 is optimum, right?
Yeah. So that's what they studied. And the skin levels of vitamin C increased and it lasted for a few days afterwards, say a couple of days. Yeah. So it might be that you don't have to use it every single day and it will still absorb into the skin and the levels will be enough to have an effect without every single day use. So yeah, so the formula has to be really acidic. And they found that if the formulation was stronger than 20%, it didn't get into the skin anyway. So there's no point in it being any stronger than that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Do you use a vitamin C derivative daily in the morning?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I do as well. Maybe it's time to take it down then.
But it's sort of like part of my raft of antioxidants in the morning.
Yeah.
So
what are there, what else is on your raft of antioxidants?
Sometimes I use EUK if it's sunny as well.
Okay.
And SDSM.
So that is, yes, of course. Mm. And EUK is EUK 134 by The Ordinary, which I'm sure you know what that stands for.
No.
Okay, fine.
I probably did it at one point and I've forgotten it now.
So, and the next question you've put then, which is one that has been drilled into us, should we even bother to use vitamin C in the morning?
Yeah.
Nia?
Yes.
Should we?
Yes, we should, according to studies.
Good.
Okay, so the way that vitamin C works is it protects the skin from oxidative stress by sequentially donating electrons to neutralize free radicals. Do you know what a free radical is?
It's just a guy that damages you.
It's not good. So basically, the sun's radiation hits molecules and knocks electrons out of them, making them into some sort of hazardous molecule that could cause damage to your DNA. Because that molecule's looking for electrons to stabilize itself. And it might try and do that from your DNA and like just make mutations in your DNA and cause damage that will eventually be visible and possibly even skin cancer. So vitamin C is there with an electron for these free radicals going, hey, I got one. Don't you bother those other important DNA guys. I got an electron. Have mine.
Why does Natalia Spearings not like it? I mean, come on.
Come on, Natalia.
Okay, so...
But she doesn't like it because it's got to be of a pH less than 3.2.
Yeah.
That's why. And there's other antioxidants that exist. So
which are less irritating, I'm assuming then.
Yeah. So basically, so vitamin C is great because it's effective both against UVB, so the burning sun rays, and UVA, which is the aging sun rays. So repeated small doses of UVA penetrate 30 to 40 times deeper into the dermis compared with UVB. Which just affects the epidermis. So that's when you burn your skin and it's visible. UVA is going into the deep parts of your skin where, you know, you want it to be plump and young, and it's damaging them and making you old.
Okay.
So we really want something to get into the deep layers of our skin and suck out those loose rogue free radicals. And stop them from doing whatever the hell they are going to do.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I just wish I had a time machine.
I know.
I'm actually surprised my face looks this good considering I used to bake it.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, do thank Absolutely. Myself.
The stuff that went on in the 80s and 90s, gee whiz.
God. Honestly. I used to come, so after I finished school, I used to walk to my nine's house, which is North Welsh for grandma, even though she was Scottish. So I used to walk to my nine's house and I used to walk around the back door. And if it was a nice hot sunny day, I would always catch her sunbathing in her bra. You know, this
don't say
amazing
foil.
Old, like, no, not foil, but no, nothing, you know, no, nothing protective at all, no oil or anything. Just with a big pointy 60s bra on like this. and then I go nine and she go, oh, and I never, ever sunbathe. I never sunbathe. I don't put my face in the sun. And then she just start this like catalogue of denials.
Like, even though that's what you just found her doing.
Baking yourself. Yeah. And she'd always, always say, don't ever put your face and body in the sun. She was really, and then, she also told me not to smoke, but then gave me my first cigarette at 15. So.
It's weird, these grandmas, like my grandmother, she was really critical of people who drank, but two family members have caught her or saw her drinking large amounts of brandy, neat from cups. Yeah.
That's really funny.
Really alarming.
It is alarming. I'm
quite scared.
A bit off piece, but I was laughing today because someone put a post on Instagram saying, why were all nanas short? Has anyone seen a tall nana? That was really funny because mine was like 4'8". Did you have a tall nana?
No, they were shorter than me.
They're
than
dinky
I am
in, that,
now.
in that generation.
Yeah.
Get in touch if you had a grandma over sort of 5'7". I would love to hear tall grandma
please.
Stories.
Yeah. And photos.
Yes, photo evidence. Okay, so
yes,
so basically it's really good in the fight against
it is because sunscreens only block 55% of free radicals produced by UV exposure, so that you even if you're wearing sunscreen, this electron damage is still happening within your skin.
That's insane, isn't it?
Mm. So you kind of want to think about having, you know, your sunscreen and antioxidant layer as well to mop up the damage that the UV is causing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just for that reason alone, I would say that's your argument for it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing. I had no idea.
So, you know, this, okay. I spent the whole week being fascinated by all this stuff I read. So I'm going to read it all out to you now.
Please do read it out. Yeah.
Under laboratory conditions, has been shown that the application of 10% topical vitamin C showed statistical reduction of UVB induced erythema, so sunburn, by 52%, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And sunburn cell formation by 40 to 60%.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it'll help stop sunburn as well, visibly, you know, to a reasonable degree. Although vitamin C alone cannot provide photoprotection, it works in conjunction with vitamin E, which potentiates the action of vitamin C fourfold. Hydrophilic vitamin C helps regenerate vitamin E, which is a lipophilic antioxidant. So
what is hydrophilic and lipophilic?
So likes water. Hydrophilic is likes water, and lipophilic is likes oil.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's fine. Vitamin C and vitamin E together protect the hydrophilic and lipophilic compartments of the cell, respectively. Vitamin C and vitamin E synergistically limit chronic UV damage by significantly reducing both cell apoptosis and thymine dimer formation.
Oh, thank God for that. I was worried about that.
Cell apoptosis. Pardon? Apoptosis means death.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, bad things, basically. A combination of 0.5% ferulic acid with 15% vitamin C and 1% vitamin E can increase the efficacy of vitamin C eightfold.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And it was noted that this triple combination was especially useful for the reduction of acute and chronic photo damage and can be used for prevention of skin cancer in the future.
So this is why C and E and ferulic acid and things are extremely popular together, aren't they?
Yeah, because it is the combination that really seems to support
each other.
That
is the trifecta of prevention of photo damage, basically.
Yeah.
Amazing. Was I thinking of it as a very extremely expensive but very popular
Skinceuticals?
Ah, it is Skinceuticals. Have you used it?
No.
I've heard great things about it. That's all. Really,
yeah. I mean, Timeless does an almost exact dupe for like probably a third of the price. So I would never buy that expensive one because it also will go off pretty quickly as well.
Well, yeah, but then if you're going to use it every day, sorry, there's a little fruit fly that like jumped into my cider.
Oh, yeah, the little fuckers, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's going to get drunk and die if I don't rescue it.
Why would you rescue a fruit fly? Crush it.
I don't want to drink it.
No.
There we are. Yeah, okay, that's amazing. So I maybe will look into that. And it's funny because I was just talking in an Instagram post about, you know, just be sure to wear lots of sunscreen because it's been very nice and I would say unseasonably sunny in South Wales, but it's not unseasonable. Yes. We always seem to have quite a nice
early
September,
Indian summer,
don't we?
Yeah.
And my friend said she'd just come back from holiday and she'd been using Altruist face fluid every day, Factor 50, obviously, for like 10 days. And then she was like, I kind of just wanted to tan, so I sort of went down to factor 30 for the last 3 days. But she was still wearing factor 30. But she must have been in a very, very hot place.
Reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah, but she was in foreign climes anyway. She's burnt herself. Mm. So,
well, more fool her. She's learned her lesson.
She has learned her lesson. She will not do that again. But yeah, and I was kind of stumped as to what things to suggest to actually treat sun damaged skin, because it's been so long since I have sun damaged my own skin.
Yeah. Well, they always say aloe vera, don't they?
They do say aloe vera, but yeah.
Yeah. Altruist face fluid has got vitamin E in it.
Yes. Well, lots of good sunscreens do. I tell you what, I know that you probably wouldn't fancy it because I know you don't like the idea of a sun stick, but I am using a really beautiful Korean.
Oh yeah, I've got one actually.
Have you?
What's it's yours white, called?
It's not white chrysanthemum, is it?
It's something like that. It's
mine
rose.
Is named after an Avon perfume from the 1890s.
It smells like it too, huh?
It's very chrysanthemum-y, unfortunately, but because it's a balm, I just put it on over the top of my sort of whatever, you know, broad spectrum I'm wearing, and I put it on the cheekbones where my glasses sit, just as a double measure. Plus also it's very mattifying, so it really takes the shine off.
It's like a silicone-y stick. I got one of those. It's probably the same brand. I can't remember what the brand is, but it's really handy.
Probably.
There's loads of different brands that do them, but it's quite handy to just sort of you know top up, isn't it? I like those little sticks,
and that's I'm sure got a lot of vitamin E in it. Okay, so that's really good and amazing. So really, 0.5% ferulic acid, so really strong antioxidant with 15% vitamin C and 1% vitamin E can increase the efficacy of vitamin C eightfold. So that triple combination, you've already said this, but I just think it's worth noting because very useful for reduction of acute and chronic photo damage. So basically, if you've totally overdone it on the sun on your face, and could be used for prevention of skin cancer in the future. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Yes, it really does.
So, you know, Natalie Spearing saying there's no place for it. That is a place. I mean, she did say it's good for photo protection, but even if people are using it for aging, it's worth it because it will, you know, protect them or help protect them from potentially skin cancer.
Yeah.
As well as photo damage. So, you know, that there is a place for it.
Okay.
And even if it doesn't, you know, make you look younger, If you can tolerate it, then, you know, that's an enormous bonus, isn't it? That it prevents, helps prevent skin cancer.
Yeah. So one of your other questions was, can we increase our sort of intake of vitamin C by supplementing? If we take loads, will it get into our skin?
Will yes. It? No.
I do like, take a supplement.
Yeah, I do sometimes. You take supplements? I take vitamin D. Sometimes I take iron. If I'm hungover, I'll have some vitamin, some B vitamins if I've got a hangover. But yeah, I don't take vitamin C, but I believe, you know, I eat my fruit and veg. I think hopefully I have enough vitamin C in my diet. But yeah, it's an interesting question though, because this in the studies I've read, the people who responded best to topical vitamin C were the people who didn't have enough in their diet and were deficient.
Okay.
And so, right, what the study said, here we go. So skin vitamin C levels respond to increases in plasma supply. So plasma supply means the vitamin C that's coming from your blood through the skin cells and
okay.
Yeah, the stuff that's coming from inside, basically. So if you are deficient in vitamin C physically, then your skin won't have much vitamin C in it. You eat more vitamin C and you will find more vitamin C in the skin cells.
Okay.
So a paper by Nusgens and co-worker suggests that skin levels do not increase further once plasma saturation is reached.
Okay.
Yeah. So once you've got the right amount of vitamin C in your system, it doesn't increase any further than that. So
okay.
Dietary supplementation is therefore only expected to be effective in elevating skin vitamin C in individuals who have below saturation plasma levels prior to intervention. So that means, as long as you've got enough vitamin C, then, you know, you will have a reasonable amount of it in your skin.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, eat your fruit and veg, basically, or take a supplement if your diet's not very good.
Okay.
So I think I was told by a beautician I went to see for a facial once. She was like, just because I was showing her my melasma and she was telling me to start eating loads and loads of vitamin C. It'll really help. That's not the case. It doesn't.
Yeah. Don't take advice from anyone. They've got
apart from us.
Ask to see their qualifications.
Yeah.
Well, they tell you bullshitty stuff like that.
Yeah. I was like, well, okay. Yeah. Do you know about Linus Pauling? You heard of him?
It was either that word, those two words together. Was I going to be a name or a drug?
Yeah, it's a man.
Have you taken Linus Pauling? Nope. No, I don't know Linus. Tell me about Linus.
Linus Pauling he believed that vitamin C would make you immortal and could cure many illnesses. Yeah. And I remember watching a documentary in which he was like, yeah, buckets of it. And he was swallowing enormous amounts of it, thinking that it was going to make him live for a really long time.
What, like L-ascorbic acid? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he did live to him? I think he died.
Just something happened to his kidneys and liver.
It's not. It doesn't sound like the right thing to do.
No, not too much of anything. So I was just reading that further down below in your transcript about the anti-aging skincare ingredient thing. So Natalia also, did she not say that there's no evidence to suggest that there are any anti-aging sort of properties to vitamin C?
She did suggest that, yeah.
She did. But
there's lots of studies that show positive effects on aging and wrinkles. And photoaging, and collagen levels in the skin. So, you know, there's not really, really strong evidence about anything, but you know, there's decent evidence.
Yeah. To suggest that. So yeah. Basically I'll read one of them. So there's a 6-month double-blind vehicle controlled study of a moderately photo-aged patients. So probably women our age, moderately photo-aged. So they had application of 5% vitamin C cream to their necks and forearms. And there was a highly significant decrease in deep furrows observed. And that was substantiated with silicon replicas on the vitamin C treated side. So histology demonstrated ultrastructural evidence of elastic tissue repair. Therefore, the authors suggested that topical vitamin C has a positive influence on all parameters of
actinically damaged skin, which means it was sun damage, yeah.
Oh, I see. I'd never heard that before. Actinically damaged skin. So there we go.
So yeah, that is a 6-month double-blind controlled study. So a good study. Yeah,
that's pretty good. Okay. And we were talking before about derivatives then. So obviously some people have sort of just either given up on using it in its pure form because they do find it very irritating. Yeah. So are the derivatives as good?
No.
What say you?
No, I say no.
Okay. That's a shame.
So I've got some really good like graphs and tables with lots of information.
I love looking at graphs and tables, so thanks for including
these. Yeah, so they're for you to look at and see, really, because I was like, oh wow, look at this graph, I'm going to show Nally, but
but this is going to be this, so this transcript's going to be on the website, right?
Yes, we're going to put it on the skincarewithfriends.com website, and I'll try, you know, I post these things on the internet thinking it's really exciting. Nobody else seems as excited as me. So if you are excited by what we're about to tell you, then please come to the group and tell me that I'm I don't want to be alone in this excitement.
How much you liked Nia's graphs. Yeah.
So we got a graph of different derivatives. So there's the control, vitamin C, C ester. So that is an ester of vitamin C, so a derivative, and magnesium phosphate. So basically the amount of vitamin C within the person's skin after the application, basically the derivatives have the same amount as the control. So pretty much zero vitamin C is going into these people's skin cells that have been studied.
God damn it.
Yeah, whereas the vitamin C group, the pure vitamin C, had an increase of 400 micrograms per millimole. Yeah. So there's no increase in the vitamin C concentration of a person's skin after they've had a derivative applied.
Okay.
So basically, in all these studies, they seem to find that some of the derivatives could get into the skin much better than the pure vitamin C because they're
like
lipophilic.
The aforementioned magnesium of sorbyl phosphate.
Yes.
So that would that would absorb into the skin. So what's the problem?
Well,
what happens then?
Because they're not vitamin C. We need the molecule vitamin C
it needs to be converted then.
Yeah. Okay. So the body will have to do some sort of chemical process to change it. And we don't know if the body is doing that.
Okay.
So, you know, we've really got a pretty poor situation regarding the magnesium. So we can hope that the derivatives would have some kind of antioxidant effect in of themselves.
Okay.
Or some sort of skin effect that they have that's not the same as vitamin C, you know? So if something like sodium ascorbyl phosphate has anti-acne effects, it actually affects the bacteria of the skin, which is different, something different to vitamin C. And magnesium ascorbyl phosphate, that's been shown to be quite good for melasma. So, you know, it's not to say that these derivatives are totally useless, but they're not not as good as vitamin C at being vitamin C. They don't have the same effect, sadly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, slightly depressing, but at least they have other jobs. They do other things.
Yeah. Yeah. They may well do other things. Mm-hmm. So I'll read you a little quote from this. There was a study by Stanford. Let's have a look. The stability, transdermal penetration, and cutaneous effects of ascorbic acid and its derivatives. So mm-hmm. pretty handy for what we're talking about. So I'll read the perfect summary. Yeah. So he said, this is the conclusion of the whole study, and there was lots and lots and lots of statistics. This instability and aqueous solubility of ascorbic acid has historically presented issues for formulation. Nevertheless, the current understanding of ascorbic acid now enables formulation for more than acceptable transdermal penetration. So we know how it goes bad, so we know how to make it in a way that it can get through the skin and not go off so quickly. Unfortunately, it seems many products on the market even fail the most rudimentary analysis, e.g. mm-hmm. rapid discoloration. So he's pointing fingers at some companies who formulate their vitamin C products poorly and they go off quickly. So, you know, even though science knows how to formulate vitamin C so that it stays fresh, mm-hmm. companies still aren't making it that well.
Okay.
So, however, the advent of chemically modified analogs of ascorbic acid have also helped to improve this formulation issue, with the exception of ascorbic acid palmitate. The oxidative stability of... is dry, isn't it? Okay.
We need to play this with like really cool music in the background.
Yeah, this is so dry.
Just do a jingle.
Yeah. So still, on the current available evidence of scientific literature, the effective transdermal penetration of these vitamin C derivatives and their conversion to active vitamin C and ultimately their comparative clinical effectiveness still needs to be fully ascertained. Basically, we're not entirely sure. These concerns aside, cosmeceuticals containing appropriately formulated vitamin C or its analogs for topical application should play an essential role in the treatment of aging skin.
There we go.
Yeah. So Stanford, whoever Stanford is, thank you, Stanford, has spent a lot of time trying to figure out if vitamin C and its derivatives are any good. He's not on Instagram, or she. We haven't heard from her. Natalie Spearings hasn't referenced Stanford. Stanford believes, after all his research, that vitamin C and its derivatives have a role in our skincare routine. So I'm going to go with that.
Good. And not just that, but an essential role.
Yeah.
Obviously, as long as they're, like he said, they said, appropriately formulated.
Yes.
So throw away your orange
shit.
Anything you've had probably for more than 3 months that's still in the
bottle. 3 months is not long, is it? 3 months goes by. I don't even notice.
I don't know. I would go through a 30 mil bottle of vitamin C within 3 months, I think.
Yes. If you were using willy-nilly. I think I'm still going to stick with the derivatives. I just remember what it did to my acne. And I'm not playing around with that.
No. Definitely not.
No.
Okay. So in summary then.
Yes.
You know, we don't agree with what Natalia has said?
No.
Really?
No, the evidence sounds in favour of vitamin C, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So.
But like you said, I think she's talking about the issues with it and its efficacy. Mm. Obviously, if the pH levels are not low enough.
Yeah. That's the thing. it's going to be irritating at 3.5 pH. It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it just depends how your skin feels about it.
Yeah. So do you also use the just the straight powder as well? Did you stop using that then?
I stopped using it.
Ascorbic powder.
Yeah.
Because it was so, it really messed with your acne.
It messed with my acne. And also, I don't know if you use pure vitamin C, you found that it gives you blackheads or if it's...
No, I never used it. But only because you told me that. So yeah. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that.
No. You know, I don't think it gave me blackheads as much as sat in my pores that were already there and turned black to make them into really blackheads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, not with finding out really which one it was. No. They're going to like blackheads, aren't they?
Yeah, blackheads. Okay. And you know, it kind of turns orange and it smells funny. It's not an easy thing to use to me.
Yeah.
But if you can use it, you should use it because it's a good thing for your skin in terms of collagen and photoprotection.
Yeah.
But I can kind of see her point of view, really. I'm not mad at her for saying that. It makes sense. No. You know, if you've got like, she's advising people who have got bad skin and they're trying to help their skin. And
yeah.
She's like, no, steer clear of that for God's sake.
Because... Which that's totally fair enough.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, they're going to her because their skin is, having issues with their skin and it's irritated. Yeah. So, yes, there's a reason why she's.
Yeah.
I'm just going on to my stories now. So, because I just, a couple of people responded with which, because I was just wondering what people were using. Have you used the Superdrug 20% vitamin C serum?
We need to find out the percentages. Not the percentage. We need to know the pHs of these things, don't we?
Yeah.
Pure vitamin C.
Well, the person that responded said it was so much better than other brands and they had a really good time with it. So they're going to carry on.
I'm happy to like buy something and do pH tests because I have a pH meter.
Oh, my gosh. Please, can we start doing that then?
Yeah.
And another one of a good friend of mine said she's recently started using the Inkey List for 15% vitamin C, still waiting on results, but they like how it absorbs, which actually is really important for your vitamin C serum, isn't it? Is how it absorbs.
Defo.
Yeah. But still waiting on results. So, you know, that's the thing. Well, isn't it? I think people perhaps don't know what they're waiting to see. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't know what results they should be looking for, and perhaps it isn't the fact that you're going to get amazing results and your skin's going to look super, because you know, I think the advent of vitamin C serums, the one unique selling point that it said it has was always brightening, you know, totally brighten your complexion and make you look, you know, skin brightening properties. So I think it's the fact that people don't really know what they're expecting to see from it. But just the fact that what it does in relation to sunscreen and vitamin E and, you know, that's enough, should be enough alone, I guess, shouldn't it?
Yeah, because that's going to make an enormous difference to the appearance of your skin long term. So, you know, really it's something that should be used long term.
Yeah. Even if you're not seeing, you know, overnight amazing miracle results like you shouldn't be seeing with anything except for tretinoin, perhaps.
Yeah. Lovely stuff.
Lovely bloody stuff. I've got another convert. So my friend Anna has just got her first ever prescription of tretinoin and I guess niacinamide, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, because it's in everything.
Yeah, because it's in everything from Dermatica. So, and it was because she said, oh, what do you suggest I use? I want like a really good, you know, she'd been using the ordinary various you know, retinols. I was like, oh, just fuck it. Sorry, but you're 41. It's time to stop pissing around.
Oh, yeah, and, like, I tell everybody.
Let's just do it. Let's go for it. And then so she got it. And I texted her. I was like, oh, my God, amazing. Really good. So anyway, she's going to irritate the shit out your skin. So this is what you should do.
Yeah.
So this is gave her the sandwich advice. Sandwich advice of put it on really dry skin, sandwich it in between moisturizers. And then she was like, okay, thanks. And then at about 10:30 last night, I was like, fuck, text her. I was like, don't put it anywhere near your mouth.
Or the corners of your nose.
Corners of your nose, nasolabial folds, mouth, just don't. And actually, you know, my colleague Gordon, who I work with, I put him onto it about 3 months ago, and he's like, I've had no irritation. He said, I had a little bit of redness.
Some people are like that.
For a couple of days. And I was like, it's your guy skin. You're used to shaving. Your face is used to being ravaged. I don't know. But I just thought, oh my God, I'm not going to forgive myself if I'm going to text the thing, me. It's like, I can't move my mouth. What the hell have you done?
Most of the people I've suggested try it have been okay.
Yeah, but you know, I take it as read that you're only putting it around the problem areas, and the problem areas being anywhere you've got dynamic lines.
Yeah. So I put it on literally every millimeter of my face.
What? How can you do that? How does it not irritate you around your chin?
I think it's just the way that I'm doing it. I think it's just that I leave it for so long after cleansing that not only have I applied products, but my face has created a layer of grease because I'm so greasy.
You're not greasy.
I'm really greasy.
That's embarrassing. I just don't understand how you can do that. I put it on last thing at night. I, like you tell me to. It is pitch black. I have a torch on.
Yeah, it doesn't need. That's okay. But it's more like
dry face.
The separation between cleansing and applying and having.
Yeah, it's like 4 hours. It does not make a difference.
Does it not?
It does not make a difference. Not at all.
What are you putting on after you cleanse?
So I will cleanse as soon as I finished my working day. So at like 5 o'clock.
Yeah, can't wait.
I'll come and just wipe everything off my face. And then it's still sunny outside. So unfortunately, sometimes I do have to put the sunscreen back on.
Oh.
But after I cleanse properly. So my last cleanse at like 7, 8 o'clock. I will do STSM. I will use either a beauty, like a light serum, like a Beauty of Joseon, or I'll use modulating glucosides if I've had it pretty tretinoin rough for the past few days, depending on how irritated I am. I'll let it all sink in. I'll sometimes go in with a facial oil and then natural moisturizing factors. And about 3 hours later.
Yeah, that should be enough to buffer, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Really, really should be. I'm not putting anything remotely otherwise irritating on my face at all. I just would never put it beneath the cheekbones now. But different
strokes. No way. Yeah. Well, I like get 4 pumps.
Oh, having said that, so basically where you would wear a surgical mask.
Yeah, so it's going on your neck as well.
But it's going right on my neck and my chest.
Wow. See, I find in that like I'm paying more attention to applying it to my neck, and my neck is quite itchy and sore.
Totally itchy. Yeah. But I also think that is the combination of hydroquinone in there as well. So if it was just the tretinoin and niacinamides, I don't find it itchy. It when it's tretinoin and hydroquinone, I do find it very itchy. And also it really does affect the appearance of the skin. It makes it look quite papery for the first couple of weeks you put it on. That's another thing I texted Anna. I was like, by the way, it's going to look a little, your face is going to look a little bit dry, and actually your wrinkles might look worse for a couple of weeks before they look better. All these things I was like remembering. I was like, no, please don't give up on it.
Yeah, what we're putting our friends through. But like, and we've got all the knowledge and this routine around our tretinoin that we've, you know, spent a lot of money and time cultivating. And these friends may just be using some Elemis face wash and a Clinique moisturizer and nothing else. They haven't.
And actually, fair dues to Anna, because I said to her, look, please, if you're going to use this for the first time, you may as well just buy Dermatica's cleanser and moisturizer at the same time too.
Yeah.
Because you're just, minimizing the risk of, and their moisturizer is supposed to be lovely.
The moisturizer is good. I've got it. The cleanser did leave my face a little bit tight because it's foaming.
I just don't find many cleansers that don't these days.
Yeah, I just use oils.
Yeah. So the one I did, I was laughing at because it was so expensive, is the Allies of Skin one, which is about £39 for maybe 100 mils. Looking back now, I finished it. I do realise how great it was.
Yeah, that's so, it, isn't it? When so you move great. On and you have a break from something, you get it then. You're like,
absolutely. I'm using an Inkey List oat balm cleanser and it's
No good. Oh, dear.
It feels like once you've rinsed it off, if you just pulled down your face very lightly, you would get a residue under your nails. It feels like it cannot rinse off.
It's beautiful.
No matter what you do. Yeah, so it's not. I think they've changed the formulation of it. So
did you use LVCE from NIOD?
Yeah. I liked it.
That leaves LVC, a film, though.
So it's low viscosity cleaning ester, and it's really, really great. And it's very, and it feels very, very oily, and it does leave a film. However, I wouldn't say it was a great daily cleanser, but I think it's amazing for removing heavy makeup and sunscreen. In a way that other ones would take 2 or 3 goes to remove.
Yeah, it just lifts everything off your face. So I started out just using it for makeup, and then I just ended up like using it twice a day, every single day.
Yeah, I wouldn't use it as a morning cleanser.
Yeah, I was doing it.
And really?
Because Brandon had said that the film that it leaves is helpful for products to absorb into your skin. So something about the film, the chemical in it, helped.
He had a reason for everything.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just an accident, was it? So Brandon is the founder of Deciem, basically. Yeah. Tragically passed away 3 years ago.
Yeah.
2018?
Yeah.
So yeah, he had his reasons for formulating it like that.
Yeah, not, you know, he got Prudvi, the chemist of Deciem, to formulate it like that. I don't know. Like, we haven't had anything much out of Deciem, really, have we? You know, they produced so many different products when Brandon was alive.
So they've done an upgrade of Case, yeah. So copper, amino...
Isolate. Serum.
Thanks. So it's on its third incarnation.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I've never used.
I've used it and I think I'm just being superstitious about it. Because I've read about, I know because I'm mental now. So when I started using it, within a couple of weeks, I started getting really bad pigmentation. I didn't have melasma until I started using it. I swear to God, I can show you the photos. It was quite strange. I was like, oh, look, I've got these funny freckles on my face. How funny. And then I Googled it. And then there's all these stories about copper uglies. So these copper peptides causing the skin to deteriorate. If you Google it, you'll find it. But like, I just don't entirely trust it. And it was just probably just that my melasma came out at that point. But there was a few week spell when I had the before and after pictures to show for it. That I didn't have any pigmentation, and like, you know, a few weeks later it was starting to appear. And so it just put me off.
Wow.
But you know, it's probably nothing, it's probably nonsense and just me being
know, but it's not something you'd then care to test,
no,
is it?
No,
really
not at all, considering the amount of effort I've gone through to try and get rid of the pigmentation.
Well, exactly, you don't want to redo all of that hard work as well.
So I don't know if any, who of our listeners uses copper peptides, and what is your experience? Maybe that's another podcast.
Yeah, it is another podcast, but also I haven't and don't. I used the Ordinaries one. But what I don't like about it, it just doesn't play well with other products in your routine. So, you know, you're always told basically when you're using anything with copper peptides to just kind of keep the rest of the routine minimal. And I don't like doing that.
No, you can't use it with vitamin C, that's for sure.
No. Yeah. Doesn't play well with our best mate. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a bit annoying. You know, it's like the Kyle. What does that stand for again?
Copper amino isolate lipid.
There we go. So, and that is by NIOD, and they suggest that you pretty much just use that, right? Cleanse, put Kyle on, go to bed.
Yeah, which is fun. That's, you know, it's a treat.
So fun.
If you're really, if you're really hungover and you go, well, this is the time for Kyle.
Okay,
I'm really tired. I cannot bear it. It's a Kyle night.
Yeah, I actually went to bed without cleansing last Friday.
Holy shit. I've never done that.
Oh, I know. I did it in my 20s. No issue. I did it at 41. I got a spot. I got a spot the next day. But, you know, that's what happens when you go to bed. And
after being in a nightclub in Barry.
Smoke Rollies as well.
Oh.
Oh, Jesus. I know. It was fun, though.
It's nice to do it every now and then, isn't it? I couldn't live like that anymore.
Oh, it is. But now and then being the operative word. I know. Do you know what? One of my daughter's best friends at school, her mum was like, oh, you got to come over to our house for our daughter's birthday party. And I did. And yeah, granted, she's about 7 years younger than me. But we ended up getting really
no
drunk
way.
In the day at a child's party. Yeah. And Hayden was like, you're really drunk now. I have to drive you home at 7:45. And then she was like, yeah, we do this like every Friday and Saturday. I was like, what?
Day drunk every weekend.
Well, and I was like, but where does the child stay? And she's like, oh, it goes to their grandparents and they party. Yeah. And I was like, I mean, that's great and everything, but how do you operate?
Yeah.
Like, I'm still thinking about last Friday.
Yeah, you've still got the shakes.
I think I'm still getting over it. Yeah, I've still got the shakes and the fears and the crippling anxiety.
Yeah. It's what it does to you psychologically more than anything else, I think, drinking.
Yeah, exactly. It was really weird. I was quite, you know, in your 20s, you just kind of like go for a fry up and a cup of tea and it's all fine. The next day when I spoke to all my friends via WhatsApp and I was like, I've got crippling anxiety. And literally everyone else went, I have as well. We all have crippling anxiety. Yeah. It's like, oh, thank God.
Totally.
It's a horrible feeling though, isn't it?
It's not good for you.
No. Anyway.
Anyway.
Take care of your skin.
Yes. Take care of your liver.
And your liver.
And your skin.
I really hope that was helpful. I'm going to point to a
lot
of people.
I hope I didn't just
the transcript, which you're going to put on the website.
I hope I didn't just confuse everybody.
No, you didn't at all. And obviously it's like when you're listening to this, it's very difficult to take in, and that's why it's really good to direct people to the website so they can see the actual statistics and the studies, because that's really helpful. Because stuff like that doesn't tend to stay in my head unless I read it 6 times. Thank you for doing such hard work on that.
No worries. It was enjoyable for me.
And what should we do next time?
I don't want to do KAIS. I don't want to do copper amino isolates studying now.
No, it's too nerdy and in-depth for normal people.
Can we do something? Yeah. Can we do something that's like easy breezy?
I'm coming to see you professionally in a professional capacity on Friday. Did you know that? I'm booked
I've
in.
Forgotten, but yay, cool. You're going to look super young.
Thanks. I've got a picture of my face at 23 and I'm just going to give you that and go, can you do that?
And I'll be like, no problem.
No issues. Let me just get my knife.
Slice your face off and glue the photograph to your head.
Like in Hannibal. Yeah. I'm not expecting that. just a couple of miracles. I was at Goodsheds today in Barry, which
beautiful place.
Yeah, beautiful place. Having lunch with my daughter, and there is a really good place called Beauty in the Bottle or Beauty and the Bottle.
Oh yeah,
they do nice little tweakments there. If you're kind of worth checking out. I was looking at a menu, thinking, yes, it's really nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
That is where I wanted to one day open a shop opposite selling nice Korean sunscreens, but I think it's just a pipe dream. I just want it to be a real reality.
Dream.
Yeah.
Don't one day, maybe.
Job. Yeah. One day.
Ugh. So should we, I feel like we should do a little come and find us on our podcast.
Yeah,
things.
Let's do that. So you are, you are Nia Pattern Looks on Instagram, and I am at Natalie SWF for Skincare with Friends. You can also find us at Skincare with Friends on Instagram. Also Skincare with Friends on Facebook, the Facebook group. Yeah. Which I keep periodically locking myself out of. Is that it? Are we
I'm also, no, we're present a lot more places than that. I'm like, I'm omnipotent, basically. I'm also at Nia Pattern Looks.
I've said that.
Oh, yeah, maybe you said that. Okay. And also, we have a website, skincarewithfriends.com, where you'll find transcripts of the podcast, and have we got an email address? No, I don't think we have. Maybe we have. Try skincare with friends at outlook.com and see what happens.
Oh, that's hilarious. This cider I've had has really gone to my head.
Wicked. Yeah. All right then, should we say goodbye?
Yes.
Hopefully we'll see you really soon. Not see you. We never see you. Hopefully you'll hear us soon on our next podcast.
Okay.
And maybe that'll be next week. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yep. Cool. Send us your suggestions too.
Yeah. What do you want to hear about? Mm-hmm. Wicked. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.